The previous installment, we related about the special shlichus that was transmitted from the holy Baal Shem Tov to the Moshe Meshel, that he gave over to the Gaon Reb Chaim Rappaport about learning the first four perokim, first four chapters of the Rambam, Hilchas Brochas, the Laws of Blessings, the Rambam in a special place in the middle of a forest, and how Reb Chaim came back to the Baal Shem Tov and said from that day on his heart and mind were opened in the study of Torah and Avodas Hashem, and surely that this comes from some neshama who he helped rectify. And the Baal Shem Tov told the story of why he sent Reb Chaim to that place, and that had to do about a certain Reb Moshe, who was a tremendous Torah scholar, but unfortunately went off the path of Torah and mitzvahs, so much so that he married a non-Jewish woman and completely stopped keeping Torah and mitzvahs. And he had a nephew whose name was Avraham Moshe, a disciple of Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem Tov. And when he told Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem about his uncle, who was acting in this manner, and asked how he can do something for his great uncle, Moshe, Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem, gave him a special seder, a special manner of service and various intentions and unifications that he should think about and act upon while he visits his great uncle's house without telling him who he is. He also said not to eat or drink there or to take anything from that house except for being permitted to wash his hands, and he should daven mincha ma'ariv there, and also gave him mezuzah. And he said that on the second day that he's there by his great uncle, after shachars, he should put it on without a brocha at the first door, and he should not tell his great uncle that he is a nephew of his. And even after he succeeds in bringing about his uncle to tshuva, he should not mention that he is a nephew of his. Rav Avraham, listening to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel Baal Shem, came to his uncle Moshe in the great estate that his Moshe had, and when his uncle saw the guest, he got up from his place and he greeted him heartily, gave him a chair to sit down, and Avraham Moshe for the first time meets his uncle. And he looks at him, and he's wondering, here's a man who was already in his 80s, closer to 90, was 86 years old at that time, and nevertheless, he looks like a 60-year-old, as healthy and as upright as a healthy tree, broad-shouldered, without a beard. His hair and his mustache and his garments are done after the fashion of the Gentiles, very happy with himself, and at his feet there's a big dog, a large dog, as was the custom of the Gentiles of the land. When Rabbi Avraham Moshe saw that his great uncle was learning tractate Sanhedrin, he began speaking to him in the subject matter that his uncle was then learning. Moshe was very happy to see that he had a guest, a scholar, and Rabbi Avraham Moshe as well derived pleasure hearing the words of his great uncle, because he spoke with true intellectual acuity and with a tremendous degree of knowledge which astounded him. However, Moshe's very coarse face, and very fat face, fat from the eating of chazer, and also his eyes, which were red and burning from drinking wine, and most importantly, sitting without a yarmulke, truly troubled Rav Avraham Moshe, and unable to contain himself, he said, "Is it possible to study God's Torah without covering one's head?" "Why should it be impossible?" the uncle answered. Well, it's a chutzpah. It takes great temerity to do such a thing. What's the chutzpah? His uncle asks him. Well, it's a chutzpah towards heaven, towards the Almighty, that you sit without a yarmulke and you're learning his Torah. His uncle said to him, the whole idea of covering one's head is to show that the fear of one's master is upon him. But we have Yiras Hashem, that we have fear of the Almighty. But he who has no master cannot possibly show that the fear of his master is upon him. Nevertheless, if for your honor and for your sake, Moshe said, I'll put on a hat. And he put on his hat. When Avraham Moshe heard these words, that he says that his uncle is saying that he doesn't even have a master, it was as he was hit by a lightning bolt. His eyes are flashing, his mouth is open, and he's trembling without being able to say even a word. When Moshe sat down back on his place, Avraham Moshe came to himself, his nephew came a bit to himself, and he said, hearing such words, one should rent their garments. No, you're making a mistake, Moshe answered. He who hears somebody saying God's name with the letters, pronouncing them according to the letters, a divine ineffable name, then he is supposed to do it, to rend his garments. But he who hears that somebody does not believe in God, it's not necessary for him that he rent his garments. And Moshe began to speak his words of total disbelief in God's being, and that Torah being of heavenly source, and all the 13 principles that Maimonides espouses, and Moshe showed that he doesn't believe in any one of them. Nevertheless, he said that he loves the Torah with the love of life itself, and he finds very precious those who study the Torah, and nothing is too hard for him to do for those who are scholars, and those who are scholars of the Torah. But still, in God and his commandments, he doesn't believe at all, and that's it. After a long discussion, when it came time for Mincha, Moshe gave a bundle of money to the guest as a gift, as a donation to him. Rabbi Moshe said that, no, thank you, I've got all that I need, I don't need any support. The only thing is, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to stay in your house for a while. Moshe said, I'm very happy to do that, but you won't be able to eat anything by me because all my vessels, all my pots and pans and dishes are treif, they're not kosher. Rabbi Moshe said, that's okay, I've got what to eat of my own. The only thing I want is a place where I can stay. Right away, Moshe commanded his servants that they prepare one of the large rooms for the guest, to place their bed, a table, a candelabrum, a shisel, a basin, and a cruse of water, and he escorted the guest to his room, and Moshe went off to learn as he was learning before in Tractate Sanhedrin. After Mincha time, which Rabbi Avraham Moshe davened, Rabbi Avraham Moshe beholds two very fancy wagons, each one reined and chained to and yoked to four beautiful matched pairs, to four horses. The drivers, the wagon drivers, and the servants and the attendants sitting upon their places, both in front of the wagon and behind the wagon, are wearing beautiful garments, as was the custom to the princes of the land, and they pull into the courtyard of his uncle Moshe. And when they were at the entrance of the place and about to exit the wagons, the attendants jumped up, wearing their garments, which were uniformed with gold buttons, and they got up from their places, they opened the door to the wagons, and they helped the guests to both male and female guests to go down from the wagon. And these people went with their little dogs tied to them with silver chains. And so they went into the house of his uncle Moshe. Rabbi Moshe heard the voice of his old uncle with great gusto and exultation, saying, okay, let's bring wine and different types of appetizers. And after a short while, as night fell, many candles were lit in the large chamber, in the largest of the room, and all those who came began singing and dancing and celebrating, drinking without end, and dancing a whole night until towards the morning. And when they were all totally drunk without knowing what's doing with them, they're totally unconscious, their attendants carried them into the wagons and they left. Moshe himself was also very, very drunk, and the sound of his vomiting was heard from a distance. His attendants carried him and they put him in bed, and he slept till after midday. The Bavra Moshe sat in his room, and hearing all the scandalous activities that were taking place in the house, he cried from the depth of his heart about the spiritual downfall of his old uncle, how he had fallen so deeply in the mud and was mired in levels of impurity. When it came midnight, Rabbi Avraham Moshe ordered and began doing Tikkun Chatzos, the midnight prayers, with a very broken heart on the destruction of the Bote Mikdoshes, on our holy temples, on the exile of the Shekhinah, of the Divine Presence, and on the lowly state of the Jewish people in exile. And he cried from the depth of his heart, and then prepared himself for davening, for prayers and the study of Torah, and this took till 2 o'clock after midday. When the uncle Moshe woke up from his drunken sleep, he ate breakfast, sat down to learn, as his custom was, the whole time, without paying any attention to all that transpired during the night, for he was accustomed already that from time to time his neighbors, the princely neighbors, would visit him and they would have a wild party. Among the intentions and the unifications of divine names that Rabbi Elyo Baal Shem Tov had transmitted to his disciple Rabbi Avraham Moshe was also a one intention and unification in the verse Zecher Avtuvcho Yabiyu V'tzidkoscho Yiranenu, which is recited in the Ashrei prayer, that when others these words with the proper intentions and unifications, then this brings about an awakening of memories. And that person for whom one brings, wants, desires to bring about these memories and the awakening of these memories, reminds himself all that which transpired from the first day that he opened his eyes on this world, and all that he heard during his lifetime. It was this yichud, this unification, and this intention that Rabbi Elyo Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Elyo Baal Shem, had given over to his disciple Rabbi Avraham Moshe, and he told him that you should think about this and bring about this unification as you say the Pasuk Zecher Avtuvcho Yabiyu V'tzidkos Yiranenu after Tachanun, after the benedictional prayers, and before Yancho in the Shachar's davening, in the second day of your coming, of your arrival to the house of your great uncle. understandably, Rabbi Avraham Moshe fulfilled the command of his master and teacher, Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem, intending and thinking about and having all these kavonas and yichudim exactly as they were transmitted to him. And he had that during the recitation of the Zecher Rav Tuvcha before Uvo Letzion. Once he concluded learning his appointed shiurim, his regular lessons after davening, Rabbi Avraham Moshe took the mezuzah, which Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem had given to him, and he placed it on the first door, on the entranceway to the estate, to the house, as Rabbi Eliyahu had told him. When Moshe saw the mezuzah, it aroused something deep within his heart. And he said with great feeling, it's 30 years now that I moved away from the city to my estate, and I haven't seen neither a mezuzah nor tefillin nor a sefer Torah. And his eyes filled with tears. I remember, Moshe went on to say, when I was 3 years old, my mother, blessed memory, would pick me up twice a day in the morning, and when I would wake up, and at night before I would go to sleep, in order to kiss the mezuzah that was placed on the entranceway. My mother would see to do it every day. But father would laugh at her and said, what are you going to bring him to kiss the skin of an animal? When I grew older and I was already going to cheder, I myself would go up on the kshir to kiss the mezuzah. And my father would give me to, and my mother would also give me to kiss the ritzuas, the straps of my father's tefillin. Once when my father observed this, he laughed for my mother and said, it's not enough that you trained him to kiss the skin of an animal. You want him also to kiss the skin of an ox or a calf? And he laughed good-naturedly at his own witticism. And when my mother heard these words, she would cry. Rabbi Avraham Moshe saw that putting up the mezuzah brought about an arousal within his old uncle, reminding him about the days of his youth, and he understood that this is the beginning of the redemption, that God will surely help to save this soul from the clutches of the other side, of the side of his of unholiness, and he strengthened himself to hope that God was seeing to it that he'd be successful in his tasks, in his task. It, for many hours, Moshe spoke about his reminiscences of his youth. He spoke about his teachers, the great Torah scholars, the greatest scholars of that generation. And the more he spoke about them, the more he became more and more profoundly moved, until at the time when he repeated one of the teachings of the Gaon Rabbi Ephraim Lunkshitz in ethics and Musar, he became very, very aroused, and he said that these memories have affected him, that he now desires to be a Jew as he was then, and that his head and arms are burning that desire to put on tefillin. And he asked and he begged the guest that he give him his talis and tefillin so that he should be able to put on the talis and tefillin. He made a brocha on the talis and tefillin, Moshe, and afterwards stood up and davened shacharis with much, much prayerful tears. When Rabbi Avraham Moshe saw that, thank God, his uncle was on the way to becoming a Baal Tshuva, he strengthened himself even more in the Yichudim and the Kavonis and the intentions and unifications which were given to him by his teacher and his master, Rabbi Eliyahu Baal Shem. And he sought to do it to the best of his ability. Also, on that day, he went to the Jewish community of Belz, which was the closest one to the estate. It was only about a mile away. And he purchased there a talis and tefillin for his uncle, for Moshe, who was in the process of becoming a Baal Tshuva. After almost a week had passed, when Shabbos was arriving, Moshe let go his servants, his entire staff. He paid them off their wages and he gave them gifts. His house and his all the furniture and the vessels and the entire place he left to the Gentiles who were part of his household. He took his svarim, his holy books, and he moved to the community of Belz. There he purchased a house next to the shul and took a man, hired an individual who should be his attendant. And he began to conduct himself as a true Baal Tshuva. He would eat no meat nor drink any wine. And so he conducted himself from the day he came to Belz until his last day, which was 9 months later. He conducted himself in such a holy manner of neither eating meat or drinking wine, would speak with no one, and every week he would give over a large sum of money for tzedakah. This he would give to the rabbi, and the rabbi would take the sum and divide it for tzedakah. Aside from bread and warm water, nothing else entered his mouth. And several days before he passed on, he gave his entire wealth to the Rav, that the Rav, the rabbi, the community, divided for various charities as he saw fit. When Moshe came up, or Rab Moshe, as he should now be called, came up to the heavenly court, it was adjudicated that he would have 117 years of difficulty and affliction in Gehenim and various other types of spiritual punishments. And this was what was first and foremost decreed for him for his acting in that manner. And these 117 years, said the holy Rabbi Yisroel Baal Shem Tov, telling his disciples at the Shabbos table the whole story of why he had sent Rab Chaim to that place, these 117 years concluded in the previous month of Tammuz. And then it was the time that he was supposed to become purified, and then was the time that there was also supposed to be purified and elevated all the many, many words of Torah which he had learned. And how was this supposed to come about? By the Goren of Lvov, Rab Chaim Rappaport, purifying the impure by learning in that place where Moshe had lived for 30 years with great depth, learning over there the first four chapters of the laws of Brochas of the Rambam, and by davening with Kavana over there Mincha. The Baal Dovor, meaning the Yetzirah, the Satan, and his group, meaning the side that was not that of holiness, knowing that it was coming towards an end, the pains and afflictions of Moshe, the son of Shmuel Tzadik, and that the purification and elevation of the words of Torah will be through the great Goren, Rab Chaim HaKohen Rappaport of Lvov, they did whatever they could possibly do to interrupt the journey, and with the help of Hashem, as the Baal Shem Tov turned to the Goyen Reb Chaim, and he said to him, you are successful in your holy task, and you merited to have an opening of the eyes of the Holy Torah, and an opening of the heart in the service of the Almighty. And that was one of the shlichus. You'll remember also, and we mentioned this in the previous installment, but because of the importance of the message, it's worth mentioning again as well. And the Baal Shem Tov said to Rav Moshe Meshel, when he had set out, take some a cup for water. Maybe the going will be thirsty and he'll be able to make a bracha on water. And sure enough, they had found someplace within the forest a well, and they had drunk from the water, and they made the bracha over it, and they also used the water for washing the hands before prayer and the like. And so the water was used for holy tasks. And the Baal Shem Tov said, at this journey, another special mission was also fulfilled. And the Baal Shem Tov said to the assembled, it says, states in the Holy Zohar, that the lower waters cry and state that we want to be before the Holy King. All the wells supplicate the Almighty and ask that with them there be done something holy, such as washing one's hands before davening, a tefillas mitzvah, an immersion for the sake of a mitzvah, or an immersion for the sake of spiritual purification for prayer and Torah, washing one's hands with a bracha when one mentions God's name, water for to drink before and afterwards, which you make a bracha. And from the time that God had created that water, which was separated, the lower water, which was separated from the higher water, they cry and say, we want mitzvahs should be performed through us with holiness and purities. And these cries can go for thousands and thousands of years until a Jew passes by and washes his hands and makes the bracha al netilas yadayim for the bracha for the washing of the hands, or drinks thirstily from the water and makes a blessing at the beginning of the end. And the Baal Shem Tov concluded this wondrous tale saying that in the forest close to the estate of Moshe ben Shmuel Tzadik, there was a well that for 5,519 years he has been incessantly crying and saying to the Almighty, why should his lot be different from all the other wells that he, unfortunately, from the time that God created him, nobody had ever made a blessing over his waters. His waters were not used for holiness and purification. And on that day, the Baal Shem Tov said to Rab Chaim and to Rab Moshe Meshel, this well was saved and elevated through you, because you drank from its waters and you washed your hands for the davening mincha. And the Baal Shem Tov concluded with a message which is important and germane to all of us, and he said that this is the concept of Hashgacha Pratis, of individual divine providence, that every created being has its time of elevation, and he, the individual, who is supposed to do the elevation. And each and every individual soul has its own purpose and the place where it is supposed to serve God, where it finds itself, Bashgocha Protis, by divine providence, for it is supposed to be there to rectify and elevate the divine sparks that are found in this place, that it be by this person in this place, in this time, all of it being Bashgocha Protis, by individual divine providence.